This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, John Hopkins has been writing about the game of golf for nearly 50 years, primarily for the Times of London. You can read John's work now at Global Golf Post. It is a pleasure to welcome John Hopkins to the Augusta Golf Show for the very first time. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
You know, I'm great. I wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about the article you wrote regarding Tiger Woods. So I'll ask you what you wrote in the article. Do you think, John, we've seen the last of Tiger?
Well, no, I don't think we've seen the last of him, but I think it's questionable as to what level he will be able to play at in future. It was all very funny. He played in the Bahamas before Christmas, and he hit the ball quite well. He scored more birdies than anybody else in the field, even though he finished nearly last. He played not so well at Torrey Pines a couple of weeks ago. Didn't make the cut, but didn't seem to be struggling. And then on the Wednesday of last week, I watched him play with Peter Dawson, formerly the chief executive of the RNA. I was interested to see Dawson, and I was interested to see Tiger. And one of the things that struck me was how poorly, no, that isn't the right word, how unathletic Tiger's walk was. I mean, he's 41, and he's probably one of the fittest men in golf, and he was walking like an old man. And I wrote in my article that he walked like a man wearing leather-soled shoes, walking across or along a very icy road. And by that I meant he looked as though he had no confidence every time he put his foot down that his foot wouldn't slide forward and jar his back. And in the pro-am, he hit a lot of good shots, but he hit some bad ones. And on Thursday, he hit a lot of bad shots and some good ones. And, well, all I can say is he clearly didn't look himself. And where this is going to lead him, I don't know. I don't think there's any truth in this business about a flight affecting him coming all the way in from Los Angeles. I mean, when you're Tiger Woods, you have a flat bed to lie on. You can get up and walk up and down the aisle or whatever the space is in your cabin. That shouldn't be any problem at all. So I don't hold any credence for that view. So what puzzles me is what happened. And if you'd like me to, I will go on and speculate a little bit. This is the other thing that I mentioned in my article, and that is, it might be irreverent to say it, but I just wonder the extent of the damage to Tiger's back, or the extent of the injury, the spasms that needed an injection. Now, at this particular point, I'm with him. I've had a bad back, and I've had to have injections. And believe me, if you do have to have an injection, the difference between the way you were before the injection and the way 4 or 5 or 6 hours you are after the injection is terrific, and it's just such a relief. I wonder whether the bad weather that was forecast on Friday for the second round, at the time that Tiger was scheduled to play the second round, had anything to do with it. I'm being mischievous in suggesting it, but I'm merely repeating what other people suggested at the time, which was, I wonder whether he really fancied that. And therefore, perhaps this spasm in his back was a very convenient way of him getting out of playing at the most difficult time of the day and perhaps recording a score that would be extremely embarrassing to him.
We're talking with John Hopkins from Global Golf Post. John, when you speculate about something like that, is Tiger to blame for that? Because we're never quite sure if we're getting the full story from Tiger.
Well, I think that's a very polite way of putting what we feel and suggesting. I feel exactly the same. I have watched Tiger and listened to Tiger since 1994. I saw him in Thailand when he was an amateur, a very skinny amateur with a big appetite. He played in a professional tournament and he played with Bernard Langer. And it was pretty clear that he was special then, otherwise he wouldn't have been given an invitation. And so we asked Langer after that round, or after his first two rounds actually, what he thought of Tiger. And he said, well, he's obviously quite good, he's obviously going to be good, but he's wild at the moment and he does need to settle down. I think that, well, I don't know what to think. He has said so many things, and his management company have said so many things down the years, that I just don't know what to believe anymore.
John, do you think today, is he part of a culture? Do you think today's golfer works out too much, tries to get too muscular?
I don't think so, really. I think what would be silly to do would be to try and would be not to take professional advice, but Tiger has a trainer who travels with him nearly all the time. So does Rory McIlroy. I don't think that they overdo it. I think that they undoubtedly, every so often, there's a chance that they're going to tweak a muscle simply because of the amount of work that they do. But they believe that they need to do it, and they probably do, in order to retain their sharpness on the golf course. And it has been, Tiger proved it, really. He became the first pro to work out. And look what he has achieved. And even allowing for the fact that he is clearly an exceptional golfer, I think it's only fair to conclude that if you're fitter and stronger, you have a better chance of playing golf and at least of not breaking down under the strain of continuous repetition, endless travel, a lot of pressure from journalists and other people. You can cope with all that better if you're taking exercise and particularly if you're sleeping. So no, I don't think they train too hard. I think they might, some of them might train in an ill-advised way, and I would suggest that they are not doing themselves any good unless they're working out to a program devised for them by experts.
Well, your answer to this may be, I don't know, and I understand that. What are your expectations of Tiger going forward?
Well, I have to say, based on what I saw last week, very, very low. I can't help pay attention to what Butch said, and we quoted this in Global Golf Post as well. Butch Harmon, who knows Tiger far, far better than most people, he said, I don't just fear for Tiger on the golf course at the highest level, I fear that he might not be able to play golf ever again. And that is a truly worrying, not just at the top level, but not even socially. I mean, my own feeling is, you put the words into my mouth. I really don't know. All I can say is I report what I see, and last week he looked absolutely awful.
I get the sense, John, looking at him, that he doesn't know how he feels. You know, I mean, he doesn't know what...
Very, very smart cookie. I think he might not know how he feels, but I think he knows what's going on. I think he knows what the doctors are doing to him and for him. I think he knows quite a lot about it. Whether he has made a pact with the devil, so to speak, and said, look, I'm going to go under the knife as often as is necessary. I'm going to do almost anything that's legal in order to lengthen my career. I do not want to have to stop at the age of 41. But, of course, the trouble with a pact with the devil is that there's always a bad side. There's always a downside. And that downside could be an even greater deterioration of his body than we know about already. Which in turn brings me back to your previous question. We believe we know how many operations he's had, but but we also believe that he has had more, and he has had more things done to himself than we know about. It's not in his interest to tell every detail of his medical history. It's not in his interest to tell us a lot of things. Why, when he first came to Europe, was one of the requests made of the sponsor who was paying for him to come over, I need a gym, and I need to be able to go to that gym at any time of the day and night, and if there is no such thing, then I need some equipment put into my hotel room so that I can work out at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't want all my rivals to see me. I want to appear to be a little bit mysterious. And he has carried that feeling of wanting to be mysterious to the end. And he wants to be mysterious in not telling us what he does. And that's why I say we don't really and truthfully know the extent of his injuries or what operations he's had.
Yeah. John, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. I know it's late there. Thank you for taking the time. And I hope we talk again soon. Thank you, sir.
Not at all. It's a pleasure. Anytime.